Navigating Marriage After Successful Singlehood, Episode 161. Welcome to the Awaken You podcast, where we break down relationship barriers by awakening your true you. I'm Coach Christine, and the two of us will be doing this work together because this process isn't about changing your partner. It's about discovering who you are so you can awaken you in your marriage. Welcome to Awaken You in Your Marriage, where we dive into the intricate dynamics of relationships and the transformative journey that love can play in our lives. Today, I want to explore something that came up in my conversation with client Cassandra Bodzak last week on the podcast, which is that transition from thriving singlehood to that uncharted territory of marriage. It's a topic that I've often thought of, but haven't thought about as a topic for the podcast. And since it came up in last week's conversation, which you definitely must go check out, I decided it was a good time to have this discussion. Let's uncover the challenges, the discoveries, the triumphs of that journey. And I hope that through this discussion, I will be able to help others who have gone through similar experiences, or even better, I hope to help those of you who are preparing to step into that new experience of marriage. I hope that this episode will help equip you to do things differently. So today, let's confront a common yet seldom discussed phenomena. I love that my brain just went off when Cassandra was talking about it. I believe she maybe said it as well, but it is something that isn't discussed. And I talk about this a lot on the podcast. Society doesn't do that great of a job of preparing us for that dynamic of a marriage. It is that experience of really feeling lost in marriage after, in particular, after years of figuring out life as a single adult. Let's talk about the misconceptions, the expectations, and the realities that come along with this transition and unravel the complexities of, you know, just really finding your footing in this new partnership that you find yourself in. And maybe it isn't even so new. Maybe it's many years old, and it is just helping you to understand that what you have been going through, what you've seen your marriage go through, is not that much different than what happens in many marriages. To begin, I think that even with the high divorce rate, when we are in that limerence phase of a relationship, we are blind to the possibility of things going south. Everything seems bulletproof. We really, in that phase, believe that this is true love. This will never change. There is no way anything will break this up. We are blind to behaviors and circumstances that normally would make us go, huh? I mean, truly, I remember when Jeff and I were dating and they were just really blaring signs that I should take a second look at the relationship. And I'm not saying, you know, I shouldn't have gone into it. It was just things that I really should have explored. It was universe saying to me, hey, Chris, maybe check this out. What is going on here, right? And of course, as a strong, independent, organized, I know what I want and I'm going to go get it sort of woman who has fallen for the man of her dreams. And of course, that was how I would describe myself. Well, maybe not so much because I was not looking at going after finding the man of my dreams. But you are the woman that I am talking to, right? You are strong, independent, you are organized, you get things done. You are going places in this life, right? And the consideration of how life might change after seeing I do at the altar is often so far from your thoughts, right? You just assume everything is going to be fine. Oh, of course, you logically know there is going to be bumps in the roads, but you're going to figure it out. It's not a concern for you. Somehow, we just think things will seamlessly fall together, just like the movies, and we have these expectations of how our new partner, our new spouse is going to show up on a day-to-day basis. The expectations that we have in our head, they aren't typically what becomes our reality. And that's where all the trouble starts. We haven't thought about making room for two and what that dynamic will look like. Now, if you go back and listen, or if you've already listened to last week's episode, you are going to hear Cassandra talk about one of her biggest ahas, something that most of us do not put together until we get to this breaking point, this dark area, this dark period of our marriage, and we are desperately wanting something different. We are wondering how we got here. How did this happen? And we start digging into all things marriage and decide to work with someone. I mean, Cassandra talks about how she was doing the digging and she stumbled across my podcast, listened to several episodes, and then booked that courageous love conversation. And then she was talking about that while we were working together, her aha was that just like every other area of her life that she wanted to create success in, she needed to put in the work. She had this vision that society creates and develops for us that we're just going to be in love all the time. We're just going to have that magical feeling of love all the time. She saw that she needed to create a vision and work towards that, just like everything else in her life, that she needed to take ownership of her own actions and self-examine so she could improve, just like we do in the other areas of our life. And the one thing, though, with our marriage is that when it comes to working on ourselves, we often need this outside perspective, right? Because it's hard to self-examine really well. And that is where hiring a coach is so helpful in making big strides towards change that truly changes your relational dynamic. And I find it so interesting how many of us don't think twice about hiring someone to help us with our business or with money management or buying a home or decorating our home. But when it comes to the thing that keeps everything together, our marriage, now really, when our marriage is working well, everything else is like it doesn't matter because we have that person to go to and bounce ideas off and cry to, right? We think that we should be able to figure out our marriage all on our own. And that is our first mistake. Now, going from solitude to marital partnership is a delicate transition where you're going from taking care of yourself, right? So you've figured out, you've got this well-oiled machine of how to take care of yourself. You've got a routine set for how your day goes. You know, things might mess that up, but it's no big deal. You just make some adjustments. You've got that figured out. Now you're going to a shared, vulnerable, coexistence that is going to take some time together to work through this new life situation. But what do most of us do? We just keep doing what we're doing. We don't take time to stop and evaluate, like, hey, what is this going to look like? It's nobody's fault. It is society's fault. I wish I had a big hand in being able to change this. I do have a big hand in being able to change this by helping you change so that you can teach the next generation, right? I am breaking generational mistakes, but it's okay. There really should be a coming together even before the marriage, right? There should be a mandatory list. Here are the things that you want to start working out, and you're going to continue to be working through all these things through the duration of the relationship. As things change, as you maybe change careers or change who's taking care of what, or you have kids, and so things change again, and then there's adjustments when the kids leave. Maybe there is the time when you have to care for a parent. Things change, and conversations need to be had around these changes, but often we just dive into them and everything sort of falls apart around us. I just so happen to be reading the Gottman's new book, Fight Right, which is starting off to be amazing. I am most certainly going to be reviewing that here on the podcast soon. In the beginning, when they are talking about why we fight, they share some wisdom that as I was reading it, I had just written most of the podcast and I was like, oh, wait, this aligns perfectly with this conversation that I'm having with you today. I don't know. It's not a conversation because you're not talking back, but just calling it a conversation. I wanted to include that in the episode. The first piece of awareness is brilliant and sort of sums it all up. This going from solitude to a marital partnership. And of course, they're talking about conflict, but they are talking about when you enter marriage. They're not talking about the time when you enter marriage. They're just talking about marriage or relationships in general. But I twisted it to when you're entering marriage, you have two brains now, not one, right? Solitude, singledom, is that a word? Singlehood is just you. You figuring out what needs to work for you. Meaning, now, when you get married, you have to take into consideration and learn how to make space for the thoughts and behaviors of someone besides yourself. In singlehood, we don't really have to self-examine too much. We just go with who we are, right? There's not somebody else pushing us into that growth, to create that resistance, that friction. Now you have to take into consideration someone else in even the simplest of things, right? Like, how is your morning routine going to pan out? Who gets to shower first? Who gets to use the sink first? Who cleans up after the breakfast mess? Who takes care of what when it comes to shared bills, shared money? Whose career gets prioritized? What happens now on Friday nights when I want to stay out with my coworkers? In the book, they talk about how there is now a continual negotiation between individual versus the collective. And of course, the collective being the marriage, and how each person has their own individual awareness and consciousness, their own preferences, interests, emotions, intellect, and even spirituality, things that compose who we are as individuals. They are calling out for expression. That is who we are. We are expressing these things. But the collective, the Gottmans say, demands something very different. It demands cooperation, collaboration, cohesion, compromise, kindness, compassion, and sensitivity to each other's individual preferences and needs. You have to start taking into consideration somebody else. And that takes extra energy, that takes deliberate intention, which you're not used to, right? It is a constant tension between trying to be true to who you are in your own soul, in your core, versus being true to the collective. And as I talk about that, something just stands out to me. Many of you know my story, but it's interesting because for me, I very much morphed into what other people were doing. I people pleased. I kind of just like, if you're going to like me, if I go along with what you're going to do, then I'm okay. Which, of course, was just cheating myself. In my marriage, what I realized is I wasn't being true to who I was in my very own soul. I didn't even know what that was. Because of that, I really couldn't even be true to the collective, because you can't be true to the collective until you know who you are, until you know your soul's yearning, right? And that has been my journey, and that is the journey I help others with, so that they can understand who they are, what they want, what their desires are, and then be able to express them in a way that can be received by their partner in the collective. Now, once you realize that your idea of what marriage would be like was only an illusion painted by society, then you can get to the work of discovering how to navigate the discomfort that comes along with developing that good, intimate, connected relationship. You have to experiment with each other, right? There's no cookie cutter format. Every individual is different. Every collective is different. As you start to navigate this, you learn how to communicate to each other. You have to talk to each other. You have to read books. You have to hire professionals, take classes, find mentors, and get to the work of experimenting, prioritizing your relationship, realizing that prioritizing it is important. And I just want to say that I think that there are many people that don't think that this work is important. And so when one in the couple finds this work and is so intent on doing this work, it really is hard when the other partner isn't interested, right? So you get to the work of experimenting with what works for each of you and for your marriage. So the truth is that going from lost to found in your marriage is never a straight path. It's a crazy, profound exploration of who we are as individuals, our resilience, and that deep sense of connection. And if you're interested in joining me in embracing the complexities of love and the endless possibilities that await you on the journey to awakening you in your marriage, then first, download my free Abundant Love mini course, where I help you go from seeing all the negative that is in your marriage to creating a love list of gratitude. And then, if you're ready to talk about what it would be like to work together, what it would be like to go from lost to found in your own marriage, then book yourself a courageous love conversation today. Thank you so much for tuning in to Awaken You in Your Marriage. Please rate and review the podcast to help others who are searching for relief in their own marriage. Until next time, may your hearts be open, your spirits be resilient, and your love be boundless. I love you all. Ciao. Thank you for listening to the Awaken You podcast. If you enjoyed listening, then you have to go check out Awaken You, my one-on-one coaching program where we take all of this material and we apply it to your life, we study it, and we take it to your next level so that you can awaken you in your marriage. For any questions, comments, or coaching issues you'd like to hear on the podcast, please visit me on my website, and together, let's awaken you.